So we're just ushering 2021 right out the door. Just hours, you can almost smell 2022. And what a pivotal year it is going to be for America and for the rest of the world in this war of good versus evil. The 30th day of December now, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. We're spending the whole week revisiting our best segments of 2021. And yesterday, we showed our investigation into fake mega grifter Jive Talkin' Vernon Jones. In that segment, we revealed how Jones purged white people from the DeKalb County government. And then he fired the black employees who wouldn't agree to go along with those plans. We exposed the full extent of Vernon's dishonesty and racism, and then we did what real journalists are supposed to do. People are tired of this softball interview crap. Nobody wants to see it anymore. They're just going to turn it off. We did what honest journalists are supposed to do. We confronted Vernon Jones with it directly. He ran off. He walked away from the interview and then called us racists on Twitter, of course. That's what Democrats do. But we weren't finished with that. A few weeks later, we stumbled across former DeKalb County prosecutor Angie Kingma and interviewed her about the other dark part of Jones's past, his long history of using threats and intimidation to escape consequences for sexual abuse. Here's what happened. For the past few weeks on this program, we've tried to deliver you the truth about Vernon Jones, the Democrat, supposedly turned Republican, trying to pose as the mega candidate to unseat Brian Kemp as governor in Georgia. We told you all about what Jones did as the chief executive officer of DeKalb County when he was elected back in the 2000s. How he vowed to create a, quote, darker administration by driving out white county employees and replacing them with black employees, even if the black employees were unqualified. We told you how Jones screamed at his parks director, Becky Kelly, so harshly that she thought he was about to physically attack her, then humiliated her by stripping away her authority, reassigning her, and trying to make her work out of a windowless storage room. We've told you how Jones described another white employee as, quote, a white bastard who's nothing more than a racist and needs to go. And we've told you how a federal judge was so appalled by what Vernon Jones did that he announced that if a jury had failed to find him guilty of racial discrimination, he would have thrown out the verdict. When we confronted Vernon Jones with all of this on this program, he called us liars and racists. But everything that we just told you is confirmed by multiple witnesses and by the courts. Oh, and here's another fun fact. It's not racism, but still pretty funny. While he was CEO of DeKalb County, Jones gave himself a five-man security detail costing the taxpayer $800,000 per year. That's Vernon Jones, the racist and wasteful CEO of DeKalb County. But there's another even darker side to Vernon Jones. Vernon Jones, the sexual predator. As it turns out, Vernon Jones has victimized many women throughout his life. But today we're going to focus on one case in particular from 2004. Late that year, Vernon Jones raped a woman during a party at his house. That case never went to trial, not because he was innocent, but because Vernon Jones's corrupt administration and corrupt police department successfully covered it up by intimidating the victim. And we know that because we interviewed a prosecutor who was there for the whole thing. Our executive producer, Lauren Witzke, tracked down and spoke with Angie Kingma, former senior deputy district attorney with the DeKalb County Sex Crimes Unit. In 2005, Kingma was brought in to help Jones's victim. We spoke with her for more than 30 minutes. Here's some of what she said.
When Vernon Jones's, and I, in my view, she was a victim, when Vernon Jones's, when she was victimized, one of the journalists contacted me and said that she was in a, basically in a fetal position, sobbing, and was afraid to go anywhere and do anything, and asked me, because I had been a victim advocate, if I would help her. And so I made contact with her and literally found her shaking under a blanket. She was in the back seat of my car. She was terrified that one of the local police would see her in my car and would stop the car. She was terrified of Vernon Jones. She was terrified of the police. And it's really, it was a known in DeKalb County how corrupt the leadership was, both on the commissioner level. Mr. Jones was CEO at the time, in the sheriff's department, and in a number of other areas. After the incident, I guess while she was getting dressed, but bottom line is she came out of the bedroom and he was naked, sitting at the bottom of the steps with a shotgun, begging her, at first begging her, please don't tell, please don't tell, please don't tell. And she was, completely rattled. I don't think she was in a place where she could say, okay, I won't tell, or yes, I will tell. I mean, she was absolutely traumatized. And after the begging didn't work, then he started threatening her. I will find you. I will find out where you live. And so he escalated. And that's almost also indicative of a rapist's behavior. They will try to cover it up, and then when they can't do it,
They try to gaslight you.
they try to gaslight you.
Yeah.
Yeah, with someone like Vernon Jones, he was incredibly powerful. He had, I don't think it was an accident that the police chief released the police report with my victim's name and address and phone number, which is the absolute no-no.
So she didn't want to for at first name Vernon
She did
Jones.
not
She
want
just
to name
wanted.
him at all. She wanted to be checked out. And so what happened is she went to the hospital for a physical exam, and a hospital, like schools, are mandatory reporters. So the hospital did contact the police, and they sent a special nurse in to speak with her, and she absolutely did not want to disclose who it was. I mean, again, the fear, the publicity, the shame, she just wanted to be checked out. Then Vernon Jones's attorney, Dwight Thomas, went to the cameras, went to the journalists, and held up a police report, a hospital report, in which he said that she wanted to state who the assailant was, and that, all she was really after was money. And it was just absolutely outrageous. And because she was my victim, she allowed me to get a copy of the medical records, and it had all over them that she did not want anybody to be involved. She was afraid of, Vernon Jones's connection with Eddie Long, who at the time was, leading a mega church, who later was, settled molestation cases.
So this pastor, Eddie Long, of this church, he was a bishop. He
He
was
was a, he was Bishop Eddie Long, correct.
he was Vernon Jones's bishop.
He was Vernon Jones's bishop. He was my victim's bishop. And he had an enormous church. And he was enormously powerful, and he was very well funded. He and Vernon and the police chief, Lewis Graham, obviously did everything they could to expose my victim, not as a rape victim, but as an opportunist who was trying to get money. And, based on my experience and based on my work with victims, I've got a victim lying on my couch in a fetal position sobbing. It's pretty powerful, and you can't fake that.
Oh no.
You absolutely can't fake that.
No.
And the fear that she had was just, I was concerned for her safety because, under Vernon Jones's term as CEO, there were two very unusual deaths. One was the county attorney who committed suicide. He had a lovely wife, lovely children, and you know, many of us thought that he had somehow gotten sucked into this machine and just, he was a good man. He couldn't take it. And then one of the commissioners, Lou Walker, who started questioning some of Vernon's doings in and outside the commission meetings, had a one car accident, which really could not be explained. I actually tried to get the autopsies, and I had connections and with the medical examiner's office, and they just said, look, Ange, we just can't give you these. When he decided to run for governor, you know, I remember just putting down my head and thinking, God knows what's going to happen in that governor's mansion, mm-hmm. that I used to drive by it, you know, every week. So he's not a changed man. In my opinion, the very worst thing that could happen to Georgia is if he becomes the governor. I really hope that this gets to Mr. Trump. You know, there's lots of discussion that Vernon might get endorsed by Mr. Trump. And I feel strongly that if Mr. Trump knew the caliber of this guy, that he would not endorse him. People who do this sort of thing will do it again, particularly as they become more and more powerful.
Well, that interview gets really emotional and it goes very deep. If you'd like to watch it in its entirety, you can find it at stupeters.tv. And you already know the response that Vernon Jones and his defenders will make to this. They'll say this is just a vengeful or crazy woman making allegations long after the fact to hurt his political career, but that is emphatically untrue. These allegations are in fact 16 years old, and the victim herself, even now, has not come forward to speak out. She didn't even want to name her attacker when she went to the hospital. That's how frightened she was of Vernon Jones. And this isn't the end of things. Vernon Jones has more victims, a lot more. And we're doing everything that we can to find them. If you're a victim of Vernon Jones or know someone that who is, we want you to contact us. We would love to speak with you. Because as far as this program is concerned, stopping Vernon Jones from manipulating and exploiting the America First movement is a top priority. And you know what? If Vernon Jones had come clean and been honest when we had him on this show, we might have given him a second chance. Well, really his third or fourth or tenth chance. But hey, there have absolutely been horrible sinners who transformed into great sinners. And we pray every day. We would be overjoyed if Vernon Jones was one of them. But that's clearly not what's happening. Jones has continued to lie incessantly, repeatedly. He's covered up his racist nature by accusing us of racism. He has mastered the art of projection. And he's lying about his old sexual assaults while still trying to lure conservative activists back to his hotel rooms for sex, even as recently as earlier this year in March. He hasn't evolved. He hasn't changed. This man is a sociopath, a predator, and an opportunist. And he thinks that he can treat the America First movement as a mark. He thinks that he can manipulate Christian voters in Georgia to put him in the governor's office. When in fact, we know that he views Christian people with nothing but contempt. He thinks that he can trick white people into backing him when in fact, he's a proud anti-white racist. We won't let this happen. Now, after our early reporting, Wendy Rogers retracted her endorsement of Vernon Jones. And now we call on General Michael Flynn to retract his endorsement as well. We call on all other Republicans who have endorsed him to do the same. And we'll continue to expose the truth about Vernon Jones until this threat has passed. Edward Zoll is the investigative reporter that tracked down that prosecutor. Vernon Jones sat naked at the bottom of a stairway, holding a shotgun, threatening the life of a young lady that he had just violated in the most
unimaginable way. Where are we as a country, Edward, when a sociopathic sexual predator is being propped up on a ticket to primary an incumbent for a seat at the table as a governor?
We're all being victimized like that victim. We all have a shotgun pointed at us with a naked pedophile, rapist, killer, monster. You put the label on them. They're all doing that to us. And Vernon is doing it to the voters of Georgia right now. But Stu, where we're at right now is that our candidates are not moral. They're not good. Specifically in this case, we had a candidate who was willing to lie, grift, and to steal the nomination in Georgia by misrepresenting himself to the America First base as, again, a candidate who had the right skin color. Republicans say they're racist. So wait a minute, we have a candidate who's black now. What are this man's credentials? But I tell you this, the country right now is on the precipice of falling into an abyss. If we allow and continue to allow people like Vernon Jones to not only secure the nomination for something as important as a governor of a state in the South, but more so, have us accept something that's happening right in front of us, a candidate who's a lie, a candidate who's living a lie. So if we don't stand up against candidates like this and individuals, this doesn't have to be someone running for office, but if we don't start standing against this immorality, then we're no better than the Democrats. We're no better than the devils and the demons who are trying to build a beast system around us.
Great word, beast system. That's exactly right. It's a uniparty beast system where the establishment machine can prop up a man like this, pour millions of dollars into a campaign to give us a sexual predator, a sociopath, a liar, an anti-white racist parasite who views Christianity with nothing but contempt and incessantly lies. The corruption, the filth, the threats, the violence. It's appalling.
Appalling is an understatement. It's thoroughly disgusting. The abuse of power. Can you imagine if this guy were actually elected to another position of authority in the 50 Club, one of the most 50 powerful people in the country, a governor of the state of Georgia? Meanwhile, you have a true America First patriot who represents the America First base in Candace Taylor, a lover of Jesus, a believer through and through, who's done more work than any elected official in the state of Georgia to bring forward real data and proof of election fraud in 2020 in an attempt to fix 2020. Candace Taylor is the only real and serious candidate for governor in the state of Georgia. David Perdue, endorsed by Trump. We've already covered the Trump endorsements. More of the best of 2021 on the Stu Peters Show continues right after this. Go nowhere.
The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
Well, not Phil, ivermectin for COVID. You can
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community, and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com, promo code STU.
Know them by their fruits. That's biblical, right? Forget about words. Too many liars out here, too many grifters, and too many shills out here. Even the people that we thought were heroes for us, know them by their fruits. Look at what they are actually accomplishing. And then go to vaccine-police.com and look at what Christopher Key has accomplished. It's amazing. This guy is a soldier in the foxhole in this war of good versus evil. A real war is happening right now, and Christopher Key is on the front lines. He video documents everything, serving Nuremberg code notifications on these pharmacists that are injecting this bioweapon poison into your kids, appearing before petty tyrants on school boards and successfully getting lifted these overreaching tyrannical communist mask mandates, appearing before lawmakers, erecting billboards in major metropolitan areas, forcing the local medias there to cover this, thereby bringing attention to the dangerous and deadly effects of these bioweapon shots. I support the vaccine police. I'm asking you to give to this organization. Go to vaccine-police.com. Look at everything that he's done. Know them by their fruits, and then donate, if you can, at vaccine-police.com. More of the Stu Peters Show continues right now. Almost every sector of American life is full of censorship on COVID-19 and these shots. You won't see a real debate on YouTube or on Twitter or on your Google results page. You can't go to the Fox News channel and see a real cross-section of nurses and doctors telling about all the sick vaccinated patients showing up in their clinics and hospitals. But on this program, we're willing to have any kind of conversation about COVID with no censorship, no propaganda, no bullshit. So on this show, you can hear doctors like Sherry Tenpenny telling the truth about what they've seen. And here's what Tenpenny said when we asked her for the truth about the pandemic last summer.
Is COVID-19 dangerous and is it killing millions around the world?
COVID-19 is a collection of symptoms that are like the flu. COVID-19 has now been stretched into other types of things that we are seeing because of the injections. I refuse to call them vaccines because they're not. And so the injections are actually what's causing the greatest amount of harm. The largest number of admissions to the hospital are the side effects of the shots. I have good friends across the country who are family practice physicians who say upwards to 50% of all patients that they are seeing in their practices are coming in day after day after day, not with illness, not with COVID, but with side effects from getting one of the shots.
Do you believe COVID-19 was man-engineered and intentionally released into the global population?
I certainly believe it's man-engineered. I think it was probably intentionally released. In my opinion, that remains to be seen, and I don't think it's that important because the genie's out of the bottle.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if the genie came out intentionally or unintentionally, and it doesn't matter if he's got pink pajamas or blue pajamas.
Fair enough.
He's out of the bottle.
Do the injections being referred to as vaccines protect those that are trying to avoid contracting COVID?
Absolutely not. And they say that clearly. Both Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Sinovac, Sputnik, all of them say clearly, this is not intended to keep you from getting sick. It doesn't stop transmission. It won't lower your death rate. It won't keep you from being in the hospital. But we hope, and that's the word they use, we hope it will mitigate some of your symptoms.
Are providers appropriately testing for COVID?
No. They're using a PCR test that was never, ever intended to be used in clinical medicine ever. They don't know what they're talking about in terms of the CT values. The CT value, anything greater than 35 is a false positive. And up until very recently, that wasn't known and was not reported. So no, they're doing is identifying cases. We no longer have a pandemic. We have a case-demic.
Is the Delta variant here and will it kill children?
I don't know about it being here, but I know that there was a report that came out of the UK somewhere in the last 2 weeks that they said that all of their testing has identified the Delta variant or the Delta plus variant, no less. And the number of testing cases have gone through the roof, and simultaneously the death rate from anything related to COVID viruses or the SARS-CoV-2 virus Delta variant has gone to almost zero. It's nothing more than a ploy to hype up the fear. You know, Stu, everybody has addicted to this fear. They have to get their next fix. It's just like when people have gone to very scary movies and they know what that rush feels like, that adrenaline rush, and people that love that, they get addicted to it. They get addicted to the adrenaline rush, the change that happens in their brain chemistries, and they're constantly looking for their next fix. It's just like a heroin junkie or a cocaine junkie. They have become fear junkies. And so all of this stuff just feeds their fear and their addiction, and people are not willing to give it up because they're addicted to it.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard it so eloquently and simply put. That's great stuff. Are unvaxxed people being affected by inoculated people?
Yes. And it's called, I'm glad that you use the word inoculation, because if you look up the old definition of the word inoculation, it means injected with an intent to do harm. And so I think that that's a good definition that isn't used very often. And these are not vaccines. We call them shots or injections. It's not a shedding phenomenon. Shedding has always been historically related to whole viruses like that shed to another person and cause the same infection. I use the example of saying if I get a chickenpox shot, a chickenpox vaccine, that is whole, attenuated, or weakened viruses. If some of those viruses reactivate and become active and I sneeze or cough on you and you happen to be susceptible, I can shed that virus to you, but you contract chickenpox. You don't get the flu, you don't get the measles, you get chickenpox. With this COVID injection, we are not injecting whole viruses, we're injecting little snips of genetic material. If that somehow gets spread to you through a spike protein, through a whole adenovirus or a whole liponanoparticle and gets transmitted to you, you don't get COVID. You get bleeding disorders, you get erectile dysfunction, you get strokes and clots and heart attacks and rashes. So you're not getting COVID. Something is being transmitted to you, yet to be fully identified, but something is happening because we have thousands and thousands of reports of women who now have irregular menstrual cycles, who have had late term, they call them miscarriages. Miscarriages don't happen at 35 weeks. And so 35 weeks pregnancy. So something is happening yet to be fully defined.
We saw an 82% number or over 81% that were involved in a trial experienced miscarriages.
Yes, it's the miscarriage, right? That's what they call, isn't that an interesting name that they call a miscarriage, a spontaneous abortion? Like the female body says, we just need to get rid of this and spits it out.
So this is really important. Let's talk about this transmission in a little bit more detail. I get more questions surrounding this than any other, quote, vaccine-related topic, right up there with magnetism, which we will also get to. Do we know exactly what it is? You said that we don't, but do you have an idea of what it is that's being transmitted from one person to another? Is it it's not the virus? Is it the spike protein? Is it
That's what we suspect. You know, and there have been a few articles that have come out that talk about transmission of the spike protein. And so and we believe, again, this is still to be identified, that it's a contact to contact transmission. It's not because proteins are too heavy, really, just to go very far with spread through the air. Can it be transmitted through saliva, through, say, sexual intercourse, through intimate contact? Yes. But the case reports that we're getting from thousands of people across the country and around the world, they're not having intimate contact with people that they're around. They're just sitting in the same room with them. I have a really good friend that lives down the street with me. Her daughter has not had the shot, and she went and hung out for the weekend with four of her college-related age group friends. They just sat around in the dorm room, and her daughter came home and started bleeding and having very irregular menstrual cycles. It's been going on for 3 months now, and she's passing clots. She didn't obviously have any intimate contact with these people. She was sitting in the same room with them. Maybe they shared the same glass or something like that. I don't know that kind of detail, but something is being transmitted, and it's not necessarily through intimate contact.
So is she forever changed?
We don't know that. It's like a whole lot of these things, Stu. I mean, we just started talking about this transmission technology, or the way that this is happening as opposed to shedding, the end of April. So we've just been knowing about this and trying to figure this out for less than 2 months. But things are happening along the way. I mean, things are happening so quickly because everybody wants to know specifically what it is. They want to know what they can do to stop it. They want to know what they can do to protect themselves. We're working on it. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, smart people that are working on things, but we don't have the answers yet. And then at the same time, the next thing that comes along is this magnetism and this magnetite and graphene thing. Now, yesterday I saw on the internet, somebody had taken a black light and put it up to their arm. And they said, look at this. Now I'm glowing in the dark. Well, we know that the SM-102 chemical that is part of the Moderna shot is injected with luciferase. And luciferase is an enzyme that is a bioluminescence enzyme. And that's where the name comes from. Is Lucifer is supposed to be the angel of light. And so when they identified this enzyme first in fireflies, and then they use it for other types of marking things, that's injected in there. So when we start seeing these really abnormal claims that people are having, like the magnetism, now this photoluminescence thing and all these transmissions, I think it's important to find out which shot are they talking about. I mean, is this just like only the Moderna shot that's causing this? Is it Moderna and Pfizer? What is it? Is there anything that's leading forward with that? They did do a study in Luxembourg. It was a phone trial of calling people and saying, we've seen reports all across the internet of people having this magnetic problem. Are you willing to talk to us and test yourself? They wanted to have 100 people in two groups, 100 people that had not had the shot versus 100 people that had. They only got to 30 in each group. And the 30 that had not had the injection, when they tried to put a spoon or a key or anywhere on their body, nothing happened. So 30 out of 30, nothing happened. Of the ones that had had an injection, 29 out of 30 of them were able to take a key or a coin or a spoon or something and make it stick to their body over the area where they had been injected. And they found that the people that had the shot longer ago, so the longer ago that they had had the shot, the stronger the magnetic charge, which means to me one of two things. Either that hydrogel and that magnetite that's in there propagated over time and gave them a stronger charge, or they've changed the recipe, which we suspect that they do, would they have along the way. We don't really have proof of that, but when you see all these different things happening, they don't have to, they can change the recipe anytime they want because it's emergency use. And so they can say, well, that wasn't working. We're going to change this and change that. We don't really know. But they stopped the study. What was interesting, Stu, is they stopped the survey. They stopped the study short because the investigator got so distraught and was so upset over the reaction to the people that found that they had this magnetic charge. They said, they lied to us. We really don't know it was injected into my body. The only reason I got it was to travel or to keep my job. And they were crying and they turned white and they were distraught. And they said, they lied to us. And the study investigator said, it was so disturbing to see what these people's reaction once they realized they had done something irreparable and irreversible to their body, and they were not given informed consent about it.
And what about the doctors and the pharmacists, the nurses that are doing this, that are injecting this thing? Imagine their reaction if they had viewed this video, watched this trial happen, if this guy who didn't have anything to do with that process had to stop and terminate this thing because of the emotional impact that it had on him. Imagine the people that are actually facilitating this jab. Okay. So anyway, Dr. Tenpenny, to those doctors, those providers, those nurses, those pharmacists that really believe that this is just tinfoil hat. We are nuts. I'm a right-wing extremist. You are providing mis- and disinformation. Of course this is a vaccine meant for good. Yes, this is the only way to protect yourself. Healthcare professionals, not only are they getting it because of social pressure, I mean, they're working in an environment where doctors are wearing 5 or 6 masks combined with face shields and triple gloving, for crying out loud. They're wearing biosuits. They are being subjected to an unbelievable amount of peer pressure from those that they work with. So they get inoculated. And then now we're seeing it mandated in a lot of these very large facilities like the Henry Ford facility in Detroit, Michigan, where we're going to interview somebody. It's mind-blowing what's happening there. What do we do to try to curb this? How do we wake these people up? When you, for example, have 2 big Instagram accounts gone, suspended 1 Twitter account, removed followers, shut down a Facebook account, the mainstream media attacks, picking and choosing, you're on Jimmy Kimmel, they're making fun of you, you're a medical doctor being silenced for giving medical opinions backed by scientific evidence. How do we combat this?
I guess all we can do is to keep educating, Stu. It's like this next Saturday, on Saturday the 10th, I'm doing my 20 Mechanisms of Injury webinar again that's available. The people can register that by going to that to drtenpenny.com. And what's interesting about that is I did that webinar on May the 10th, And since that time, I found at least 20 more mechanisms of injury of how these shots are making you sick and can kill you. I want to read you the title of three textbooks I'm reading right now that I found through a textbook site that I have.
Please.
One is called Clinical Applications of Magnetic Nanoparticles. It's a 517-page textbook published in 2018. Here's another one, Magnetic Nanoparticles in Biosensing and Medicine, a 318-page textbook. Here's another one, Nanomedicine, Designed and Application of Magnetic Nanomaterials, Nanosensors, and Nanosystems for Human Use, a 475-page book. And here's a chapter out of a textbook that I just found called Tissue Engineering Using Magnetite Nanoparticles. This is real stuff. They've been talking about this for a long time. And like a lot of things that happen inside of medicine and BARDA and the government, they start out with good intentions. For example, the idea of doing this initially was if we could take these little magnetic nanoparticles and have them take a piece of or a little drop of chemotherapy, and we can use an external magnet to move that directly to the cancer and have it released it directly to the cancer instead of having your whole body washed over by these very toxic chemotherapeutic agents, if it could be targeted release, wouldn't that be better? Well, yes. But then, oh, if we can do that, what else can we do? We know now we can direct these nanoparticles to go across the blood-brain barrier, and we can change chemistries, and we can change proteins, we can change enzymes in the brain to make people have dementia, not think well, and be completely automatons. It's so these things have been in development. In fact, that first textbook that I read you, it has articles referenced all the way back to 1974. This isn't new. They just now found the absolute way to implement it and put it into our bodies because they want everyone either sick or dead. And the ones that are sick, they want to be able to control them.
Do you know who they is?
The World Economic Forum is the head of the pin, in my opinion. You know, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, because who are members of the World Economic Forum? Somebody ought to really track that down. They're the heads of all the pharmaceutical industries. They're the heads of big tech, the heads of big government. They are all using this entire scare factor, this pandemic propaganda thing. The entire intent of it, Stu, from the beginning all the way up to this very minute, is to get everyone injected with these genetic modification tools. And that's exactly what they are. And that they, you know, Klaus Schwab said in his book, we need to get rid of about 4 billion people. And the ones that are left will be mostly Chinese and Japanese because they're used to living in a controlled society. They're going to control what we say, what we think, what we do, how we communicate. People like you and me are going to be squashed like a bug. I mean, this morning's news, you know, the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., you know, has subpoenaed Facebook to get the names and demographic information of all the people they have censored giving out COVID-19 misinformation that doesn't go with their agenda. Their agenda is to vaccinate all of us with their stuff, which is a genetic modification technology. And every person who's received this shot for the sake of convenience, they've bowed their knee to a pharmaceutical product instead of bowing their knee to God. And they're going to suffer the consequences of that free will decision in their body.
What would the Attorney General, speculation, of course, what would the Attorney General want with that information, with those names, with that list?
Well, I think if you want to say, well, maybe there's something good that comes out of this, maybe they're looking at to see how many people Facebook actually stomped on people's rights, you know, suppressed their freedom of speech, took away their ability to share information that comes from mainstream medical journals that just doesn't happen to go along with their COVID-19 agenda. Maybe they're going to use that to go after Facebook to see how many people they've actually shut down for telling an alternative true story. The nefarious side of that is the way they can round us all up. I mean, who are those people that are the layers out from the disinformation dozen that I'm proudly one of them, you know, that are actually getting information out to people to say, listen, this is what's happening to you. Pay attention. So I guess it's if you want to look at the glass half full or the glass half empty, are they going to use this to further our First Amendment free speech rights? Or are they going to use it to round us all up? I guess that remains to be seen.
I could probably talk to you all day. I mean, just listen to you. You're an incredible wealth of information. Have you gone to mainstream media, cable broadcast, news networks, Fox News, Tucker Carlson with any of this stuff? Have you reached out to him and said, and I'm talking specifically about Tucker Carlson, have you reached out to Tucker Carlson, who seems to be the only one asking real questions on that network? Have you asked or brought this to his attention, asked for an appearance on that program?
First of all, the answer is no, because I don't know how to do that. I mean, I don't know the channels to get to him. But I do know several people who I have spoken with who have tried to get this information and saying, you know, Dr. Tempany's the most articulate, most knowledgeable person out there. I mean, if you want to do a counterpoint with somebody, she should be your girl. And there's been zero response.
And it's not even really a counterpoint. I mean, you're not arguing with anybody. You're out here just telling the truth, being persecuted for it, of course. But you're telling the truth. You have.
Yeah, I'm telling the truth. I mean, I just read you the titles of textbooks on magnetism and human use. I didn't think I'd make that up.
Yeah. This is between the headlines that you just told me from today, breaking about the attorney general wanting that list, between the textbook titles, between your experience that we articulated here. I mean, you're applying real world experience. Do you get emails from people? Do you get phone calls or text messages from people who have fallen victim to this? And I know we have a hard break coming up here in about 2 minutes, but are you getting actual personal testimonies from people who have been injured or had adverse reactions or adverse events occur as a result of this inoculation?
Hundreds and hundreds. And I also get handwritten letters, and I've gotten about three really serious hate mails and several serious death threats. But in relationship to that, I've gotten literally dozens and dozens and dozens of handwritten letters, personal cards saying, thank you for what you're doing. I so appreciate you. And then we get these heartbreaking stories, like the one I got yesterday in my office. This was a grown man who called and said, aunt was crying on the phone and begging for help for his father, who was injured by the shot. He says he may only have days to live. His dad went from being an able-bodied ex-Marine on no medications and completely healthy to being completely disabled, wild blood pressure swings, heart problems in the hospital. The doctors say he's probably going to die, and he's wanting to know, begging us, crying, this is a grown man, is there anything that we can do to try to help his father?
Wow.
We get hundreds of those daily. In fact, I just hired more people in my office, Stu, just to handle the phones and emails. I mean, we're getting anywhere from 80 to 100 phone calls an hour asking for help. What can they do? How can they get exemptions? How can they protect themselves? What sort of vitamin supplements? What kind of things? What should I be doing? How do I protect myself from what's happening of this tyrannical assault on all of humanity?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do to protect yourself against this branded and marketed product called COVID-19, the set of symptoms chimerically engineered, intentionally released on the world, a bioweapon, a Tony Fauci concoction funded by taxpayers out of Wuhan, China. Go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. This is Dr. Zev Zelenko's protocol. This is the combination of ingredients that he was forced to come up with as Andrew Cuomo was sending helpless geriatrics to their modern-day progressive ovens, these death camps, in these nursing homes. Zev Zelenko was the first humanitarian genius to come out and say, nobody needs to die of this thing. This thing doesn't kill anybody. Let's just treat them. As opposed to allowing them to get blue in the lips and then fill their bodies with renal failure-causing Tony Fauci, very expensive experimental remdesivir or ventilators. Instead of all that, how about we just give them a protocol? And that's what Dr. Zev Zelenko did. He came out and he told the world what it was. Quercetin, D3, zinc, vitamin C. He gave all the dosing. Now you can go get it yourself, and he encourages you to do that. But if you don't know that you're going to find it all in one place, it actually ends up being even more expensive. And if you're unsure about dosing, how about a one-pill formula? Go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Dr. Z's Z-Stack, a one-pill formula, the COVID killer. Plus, it protects your kids against things like RSV. It protects you and your family against influenza. Go do the research yourself. ZStackProtocol.com. Again, ZStackProtocol.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now.
Dr. Arianna Love has been a recurring and very popular guest on this show thanks to her many interesting theories about COVID-19 shots. Well, last fall, she postulated that tiny Hydra animals might be included in the bioweapon injections to alter people's DNA and turn us all into a new hybrid species. And earlier this month, she talked about graphene oxide in the vaccines and said that they could possibly be used to turn vaccines into wireless transmitters. It's crazy. Here's the full version of that appearance. So what did you find in this patent?
Well, they're called biochips, and they're in more than one patent. So yeah, they exist. So Dr. Kamkar is right. They're in the patents.
So a wireless nanosensor exists in this bioweapon shot that's being called a vaccine.
Exactly. And it also contains, they contain graphene oxide, they're made from graphene oxide, which proves that there's that graphene oxide is listed in the patents. And I'll get more into that in the next interview, but I'm still researching it and documenting it. So we have now proof that there's graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide, and other graphene variants in these shots. And that comes from, so far, 7 scientific research teams and scientists, including the University of Almeria, Dr. Pablo Campra's report. Then, and they're using techniques like optical and electron microscopy, dark field spectroscopy, micro-Raman, and chemical analysis, and more to determine the graphene oxide. So at what point do we say, okay, it's in the shots? Then there's been 2 Pfizer whistleblowers that said it's in the shots and produced proof. There's been Health Canada that recalled 1.5 million masks because they contained graphene. These were masks children were forced to wear. Japan recalled the Moderna shots for containing metal contaminants. And then there's Dr. Andreas Nowak, who just came forward and he blew the whistle days ago. And he commented on Dr. Kamkar's report. And he said that 2 of the frequency bands that Dr. Kamkar identified was graphene hydroxide. And it's worse than we thought. He said that these are nano-sized razor blades that cut people up from the inside. And they can't be identified in autopsies. And he said it explains why people are dropping dead.
Now, Pfizer, one of the chief scientists, sent an email over to the PR team addressing how to deal with the graphene oxide thing. So we had those leaked emails that shows that they're not interested anymore in just outright denying the fact that graphene oxide is in these shots, but now interested more in how to control the narrative. And then yesterday, Deanna Lorraine on this program revealed that this doctor was allegedly murdered. His wife believes that he was murdered for exposing this graphene hydroxide in the shots. Some people have said, by the way, that that's fake news, that this guy is still alive, that he didn't die. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, well, there was a rumor spread by Cliff High that he somehow staged his death and he's not dead. And a lot of people are thinking that he's not dead because of that. So these kinds of rumors are very dangerous. We have to wait for the facts before we draw any conclusions. But yeah, his wife thinks that he was killed by radiation beam. That technology exists because he had stroke-like symptoms. And it basically came on right after they released the video. So it's, who knows? We don't know, but it's possible.
But is that doctor okay. dead? Yeah. Is he indeed deceased?
He is.
Okay.
There's been some independent media reports on it. And his wife has, come forward a couple of times. And, she's obviously not acting. I was an actress and I can tell you she's not acting. Her breathing and everything, you can't fake that. So I believe he is dead.
Else have you found? I know that when you emailed us that you said that there were some other things here that you wanted to talk about today that you've discovered in these shots.
Yes. Right. Okay. So I found graphene oxide in the shots. It's in the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. It's listed in the patents. They're hydrogels. Hydrogels are made from graphene oxide, and the hydrogels are listed in the Moderna patent. They're patented under US 84153252. That's the name of the patent. The hydrogels, they were developed by DARPA. And get this, Pfizer, Moderna, and BioNTech developed the hydrogels for the ballistic delivery of mRNA technology. So the hydrogels contain the entire weapon system, and this, which is now being directed against the human population. So also the quantum dots are mentioned in the Moderna patent, and these are made from graphene oxide. So graphene oxide, 100%, is in the shots. It's in the patents. That's irrefutable. Also, this is what I found. All of the patents mentioned gene deletion. So I talked about this previously, just two of the patents, but I mean the two of the shots, but now all of them, gene deletion. It's 100%. All of the COVID patents, except for one, mentioned that they're coding human cells with a synthetic DNA, which is known as complementary DNA or cDNA. This is because, okay, naturally occurring DNA cannot be patented, right? But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2013 that cDNA can be patented. So the Supreme Court document says that scientists added four plasmids to bacterium. And I already mentioned previously that the base for these chimeric bioweapons is E. coli and bacteria plasmids. So I found E. coli listed in most of the patents. There we go. There's the proof. I mean, it's just more proof. But these are antibiotic resistant bacteria. You can't kill them with antibiotics. You have to use other means, but you can kill them. The Supreme Court ruled that modified bacterium is patentable. The judges agreed that cDNA is patent eligible. So that means a plant, animal, or human can be patented and owned if genetically modified with cDNA. Now, the court ruling said that a patent could be asserted on a series of the 15 nucleotides that exist in the BCRA1 gene. That is by breaking the covalent bonds that connect the DNA to the rest of the human genome. That literally means snapping your DNA in half. This is what they're doing. And the BRCA1 gene is a human tumor suppressor gene responsible for, get this, repairing damaged DNA. So all the COVID shots, they're deleting genes, they're genetically modifying humans, and turning humans into a species that is patentable, and this is according to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. So you can eliminate the entire species of anything using the CRISPR-Cas9, or you can completely remove genetic traits in the human being, which is what these elites are now doing. So I found the lentivirus vector, which we spoke about earlier. It is a Fauci-funded Fauci-funded Wuhan bioweapon, right? The lentivirus. Mm-hmm. It contains the HIV-1-3, the SARS, MERS, and the AIDS-inducing SRV-1 chimeric proteins. Now, I identified the lentivirus in the Moderna patent, the Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and Oxford patents. But guess what? The HIV-1 bioweapon, it is patented and owned by Anthony Fauci. So he's got his hands in all of this. And he really needs to be restrained. And for this vaccine holocaust, he's a murderer. Okay, then the Pfizer patent names 30 gene deletions. And then it just says, etc. And then the Pfizer patent also mentions gene 69 through 70 deletion and mutation. Now, Thermo Fisher did a study and released a study about this 69 through 70 gene deletion and mutation that says it causes a variant that is, quote, significantly more transmissible than previously circulating variants. So this proves that they are creating the variants with their death jabs. So Pfizer patent mentions gene 144 deletion, which causes rapid cancer growth. I found a patent for a combo kit PCR, the test that mentions gene deletion. So imagine that the tests are also inducing these, you know, these using hydrogels and inducing the putting the bioweapons into the brain for gene deletion. The Pfizer patent mentions the XY chromosome inversions, and if you invert the sex genes, it causes sterility. And this may explain the transgender mania.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The rest of today and then tomorrow, and poof, 2021 is gone. History, it's over. And for a lot of people, that's a relief. But how important is real action from platforms like this one, from families like ours, from soldiers, you and me, fighting, realizing that a real war is being waged in heaven right now, played out on earth as communism is taking over without a shot being fired? How important is action? God is working right in front of us. We have to respond to that call. So important. Our kids' futures hang in the balance. When you're considering your financial future, please consider doing business with Cortez Wealth Management, the chief sponsor here on the show. Carlos Cortez, a like-minded person, a Jesus-loving believer, a family man, a husband, and a father. It's so important that when you're considering whose hands you're putting your entire future in, that you consider doing business with an independent fiduciary like Cortez Wealth Management. Book your appointment with Carlos right now going into the new year. Go to CortezWM.com. Again, CortezWM.com. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow on the last day of 2021.